kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And I've got a title today, Faith is Influenced by God's Faithfulness. Faith is Influenced by God's Faithfulness. I know I spoke last week on faith, but I'm really sensing from God that we really do need to explore more in the scriptures with regard to our believing, because that is going to be the test in this final lap of the race that we're in. Because our faith is going to cause our heart, our eyes, our whole being to the prize, to the reward of this race that we're in. And indeed, our reward is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I stress that not only him himself, but he comes with rewards as well. That's the love and mercy and generosity of our Heavenly Father. So faith is influenced by God's faithfulness. You see, unless we are learning to trust in God's faithfulness, we will not have the faith to overcome in these last days. It's not just enough to look at the promises of God and quote those promises and recite and learn them, all of which has an important place. But unless these promises in God's word are understood on the fact that God is faithful. And we're going to look at a bit of this today with regard to this, because I believe this really helps and influences our faith. You see, through this new age and new world government that is coming, a deception is sweeping across the world. We know this. We are seeing it clearly before our eyes in the news. We're seeing rapid changes taking place now. All of these are the signs and the seasons that Jesus told us to look for and to discern in Matthew 24. And we're going to hear much about this. God is going to work with us so that we are discerning, we are testing. In other words, we are as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And he's going to really work this with us for the purpose to reveal that he is faithful. All of those who are experiencing the faithfulness of God will also be discerning in these last days. Because we do walk by faith and not by sight. You see, our faith is going to be challenged. And he's going to look over the years if we have been sitting under the faith teaching, whether we have taken it seriously or not. God is going to look for those who are trusting in the faithfulness of Almighty God. We know this if we turn to Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8. And we note in verse 8 that it's in the context of the parable of the persistent widow. So we already are getting an inkling that it means that we are to be persistent. We're not to give up. We're not to lose heart, the same as she didn't. She was persistent. She was knocking, she was having a go at the judge, and she was tiring him out until in the end he gave way. So that is in the context of what it's looking. And he says here, the Lord, because he's giving this parable, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That is the question that he raises. Notice that he doesn't answer that, but he gives it in the context of the parable of the persistent widow, because that is the key to what will be on the earth. That is the key to your life. That is telling you and me something. Are we staying with this? Are we persistent? Are we diligent? Are we dependent totally upon the Lord? You see, these are the questions that he's raising. Will he really find faithfulness? Will he find this persistence? Will he find this widow when he returns to the earth? Now, that is something as overcomers we have to glean from. We have to understand what the Spirit is saying to us. Because I believe, as the title we're looking at today, faith is influenced by God's faithfulness. In other words, God's faithfulness is going to influence this spirit, this tenacity, this zeal within us, like the persistent widow, because we know God is faithful. We know he will answer. We know he will not turn his back on us. He will be faithful. He will help me through this trial, this life, all the tests that are involved, all the trials and tribulations. I know he will be faithful. And that is why I stay with it. I will persist like this widow. That is what it's meaning here, brothers and sisters. And what is God looking for with FGA? He is looking for those who have been sitting all these years under the faith teaching, whether we have taken this seriously or not. That is what he's looking for from us, because God has not made a mistake. What he introduced us to way, way back with regard to faith and the deeper life, God never makes a mistake. And he uses men just like us, with weaknesses, who doubt at times, who find it difficult, who can feel down, dejected, rejected. Yes, he uses men in which to minister his word. That is why we have saints in the Bible who miss it a mile off with regard to their faithfulness to God, and yet God in his love and mercy forgives and casts our sin and unbelief away as far as the east is to the west. So here we are. What are we doing with what God has given to us over the years? That is the question, you see. And he wants us to be faithful in his faithfulness. And he wants us, like that persistent widow, to continue each day. And if it's knocking, then continue to knock. If it's pressing in, then continue to press in. If it's believing, then believe. whatever the situation. No, it doesn't change many, many times, but he's looking for that persistence. Because we have a vision. We have seen something that the world cannot give. And we are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We are seeing the promises that he has given to us in his word. We are seeing that he's marrying soon his bride who's making herself ready. We are seeing that he has given us all authority and dominion in his holy precious name. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and love not our lives even unto death. In other words, these promises have taken hold of us. They possessed us. And they become our life, our confession, our belief, our hope. To the extent that even if he slays me, I will still believe, as Job said. Remember this title we're talking about, faith is influenced by God's faithfulness. Now, the idea of faith, as we know, is to believe. And our faith comes from God first. It's a gift. You didn't possess it. You didn't have it. God, in his mercy, gave us that mustard seed of faith that enabled us to be able to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in faith to be saved, delivered, and healed. So he has given it. It is a gift. He took that initiative, as we know. You see, many people have faith in things or ideas, but it's not based on the eternal truth of salvation. You see, the world's faith is soulish, it's selfish, and it comes from their father, the devil. Now, why am I stressing that? Because human beings, man was born to believe. It is in his nature. It's in his DNA. It's our makeup. God created us in order to believe. And obviously, before the fall, we believed in God and him alone. But the world out there has a faith, but their faith is to self. It's soulish. It's what I want. It's from their father, the devil. You see, the world's faith is deceived by the enemy. Let's turn to John 8. John chapter 8. And look at from verse 42. Now here, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, the religious people. And here in verse 42, he says, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words." So in other words, he is exposing their spirit, their heart. He's exposing that they can't and they don't believe in God, in his word, the promises. They can't even discern who Jesus is. Now these are the Pharisees, the religious people, who are supposed to be the example of the faith at that time. And it goes on. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And he goes on, "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So he's referring to the enemy. And now, do you know that Lucifer, before he fell, he had no problem in believing. He believed. He had faith in God. He was in the presence of God, one of the closest to God. So it wasn't a question of whether believing or not believing. And until pride entered and he thought he could be God, and he tried to overthrow the throne of God, we know then that he was cast out. His faith became defiled. He could no longer believe in Almighty God, in the sovereignty and power of God. He now was believing from himself. He believed in himself. Notice, faith is there, faith to believe, but it is a perverted belief. It becomes a soulish belief. And so Jesus is addressing here the Pharisees. He says, you now in effect have that faith that Satan has, which is a lie, a deceiver, a murderer. You believe in yourself. You believe in your own ability, your own intellect, your power. You become your own God. But they're still believing. It's still a faith, but it is a perverted faith. And that is what the fall did. We were made and created to believe. God put that faith within us, but it has now become perverted. And that is why our faith has to be restored through the new birth, through that new nature that God gives us, and the word of God and the promises that we believe here, that restores us back to a holy faith, a faith that believes in the faithfulness of God, that work which he hath begun in us, he will complete and finish. That is what Jesus is exposing here to the Pharisees. You see, man was created to believe, to have faith, and to live in the rest and peace of that faith. That is what God gave Adam and Eve, until sin and disobedience came and put pay to that. Sin had broken that simple childlike trust. And we see God has to provide. And here is the faithfulness of God. He provided for their fall. He covered them. He had to cover their sin. And the sign of that sin was their eyes were open to their nakedness. What a tragedy. And so God has to provide. And that's why he says, doesn't he, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. You do not please God if you do not have faith and believe in the standard of his word that restores us back to that faith that Adam and Eve once had, a faith that was innocent, that believed. That childlike faith, God's restoring that childlike faith back with us. And the overcomers must have this faith. We are to stop questioning our faith. We're to stop questioning God's faithfulness. God loves us with an everlasting love. He is now our Father. No longer the devil is our father. No longer is our world of the and faith of the world, that selfish faith, that faith that wants what I want. No, when we become a new creation, we surrender that self-life up to God. And it dies, that the new life that is found in Christ now starts to live and have his being in and through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what the good news of the gospel is about. That is why we must be found in the second Adam. If you are still in the first Adam, you will eternally be damned. But the good news of the gospel is that when we are found in the second Adam, he now will give us eternal life with him. Because at the end of the day, when man takes his last breath, he goes to two places, either to hell or to heaven with God. And that is the reality. And most of the world are in denial on that. They excuse themselves from that. They don't want to answer that question that nags in your conscience day and night. And praise God, when you become a new creation, you no longer are faced with that choice, because you know in your heart what you are destined for and where you are going. And that is why we always hold on to that. And that is what Jesus was raising here with these Pharisees, these religious leaders. They were controlling and manipulating the people. Has it changed today? No. It is still the same. Human nature doesn't change. Nothing new under the sun. The religious leaders, the religious systems still control, still create the wars. Read your history books. It's all there. But I'll tell you what, God isn't even in it. God isn't religious. Thank God he isn't. It was religion that put Jesus to the cross. And it's religion that crucifies you and me as well. But praise God, the good news is that we can believe in God's faithfulness, that that work which he hath begun, he will complete and finish, which he says in his word. And so we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And if you don't have faith, you will not be pleased with God. And there's the problem. You see, a lot of people, and sadly even professing Christians, don't really have faith. And so when you read such scriptures like Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you don't have faith yourself, you find you're not pleased with God. And so because you're not pleased with God, you become angry with God. And when we become angry, we become dissatisfied with God, it's always a clear sign there is unbelief in my life. That is what God is really exposing. You see, it's always faith first that makes it possible for all things. It's got to be faith first for the Christian, because we have to produce something by our faith. And we know this well, but let's remind ourselves in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verses 5 to 7, because this is what our faith has to produce. Our faith, what it's producing, is a sign that God has restored and is restoring us back to him. And here it is. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these graces, these virtues, give us a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that the world cannot give. And he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Again, goes back to what I was saying in John 8, where Jesus addresses the Pharisees. He was accusing them. They were forgetting from where they came from. He was exposing the fact that they believed and boast that they were the faith of Abraham. And as I said, they controlled, they held the religious atmosphere of that time. People were bound by them, in awe of them. And yet Jesus exposes them like he did. And he revealed that their faith that they had was of the devil. Because as I've said, reminding you again of this teaching, man was created to believe. Our faith is in us. It's part of our creation. It's part of our DNA, our makeup. And we believe in something. Man out there believes in something. But his faith that he has in the world is selfish, inward looking. It's what I want. So the world believes out there. They have a faith, but it is a perverted faith. So our faith through the new birth has been restored. And that is why God is restoring to the overcomers that simple childlike faith which Adam and Eve had. They didn't doubt. They didn't even know what doubt was. They just lived in that presence of the Lord, that belief, that believing. Doubt wasn't even on the radar until sin entered. And Satan had placed unbelief in God's faithfulness to them. And of course, that is always his attack today. He still attacks in the same way. He's still attacking your mind and suggesting and telling you that God isn't faithful and so on. What do we see also in chapter 3 and verse 18 of 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it is. We are growing. We are learning. We don't get this overnight. It is a growth. And that is why we need that patience, endurance, long-suffering. Because this work that God is doing, this change, takes time. You see, our faith now is a spiritual faith. And it cannot be identified or mixed with the world's faith and unbelief. And that's why God comes so heavy with us now when we're not believing, because you cannot mix this holy faith with the world's faith and unbelief. And that is why he's delivering us from the arm of the flesh. That is why he works with us like he does. You cannot mix this holy faith, this faith that is a gift given from God to believe, you cannot mix it with the world. And when you try and start to mix it with the world, what do you end up with? Religion, which is a curse. And of course, this was the children of Israel's problem. This is much of the problems at times with all the saints recorded in the Word of God. They wanted to mix their faith with the world. Israel wanted a king. They wanted to look like the world. They couldn't accept that they worshipped God in spirit and in truth, that God was their king, that couldn't visibly be seen with the eye. And so God let them have what they wanted and gave them Saul. And you know the rest of the story. It was nothing but a mess, a problem. No blessing came out of it. And we do it until the mercy of God stops us. That is where idolatry comes. Because we mix this holy faith, this faith that God has restored and given to us again through Christ, yet we still want to mix it with the world's faith, the devil's faith. And it's a lie. It's a deception. Why do we do it? Because the cross is not present. You're not letting the cross deal with the self life, that selfish life that's so obsessed with me and what I'm going through and how I feel and what's happening to me. You see, we're not allowing the power of the cross to work that so that we can experience that true faith, that simple childlike faith, where we believe and trust in the faithfulness of God. And there's the problem. As I said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you don't have faith, you will not be pleased with God. And there is the problem. And that's why he comes heavy on this. Because we have sat all these years, brothers and sisters, under the faith teaching and the deeper life. And God is expecting much from FGA with what we have been given. You see, I believe our faith has to come to its full maturity. It's all part of perfection. Be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And so there is in maturity a completeness, a perfection that is to come for the overcomers, for the first fruits that will be brought in and revealed and placed upon that altar, which is a sign of what is going to come the rest of the harvest. And it's to come to its full maturity by believing and trusting in the faithfulness of God. That's why I have this title today, because unless your faith is in the faithfulness of God, it's not going to come to its completion, maturity, otherwise. Let's turn to some scriptures to just familiarize ourselves with regard to what we're talking about here. For example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 13, and it speaks of John the Baptist, the forerunner, preparing the way for Messiah. And listen to what is said here. In verse 6 onwards, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Or in other words, he gives the power to believe. who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in other words, it's not a work of the flesh. It's not something you can achieve or do. It's the work of God. There he's revealing God's faithfulness. In other words, God is sending his son, Messiah, to redeem the world. There is the faithfulness of God being revealed. We also get a clear insight of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The faithfulness of God again. God has so much to reveal to us and to give us and to share with us. And he does it on the basis of being faithful. What does Psalm 84:11 tell us? Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. There is his heart. There again is his faithfulness. He withholds nothing of himself. To those who are faithful, to those who trust in the faithfulness of God. That's why I opened up at the beginning with this, with the persistent widow. And where Jesus says in Luke 18 that when he comes, will he find faith? Or will he find people being faithful, in other words? That is what he's going to look for. And the only way we are in faith, believing in the faithfulness of God, that we're like that persistent widow. We don't give up. We continue knocking and knocking. We continue staying with it. I know nothing seems to change at times. It seems as though there's nothing new happening. Why are we not, it appears to be breaking through, or why are we not like so many churches around the world, or whatever it is? Well, how many of them persist and knock and don't give up? You see, many in Christendom want the broad way because it's easier, but the narrow way is the hardest. And the narrow way, and that road through the narrow way, is a road of trial and testing and tribulation. And few, Jesus says, there be that find it. The Bible has a way of explaining and telling us those questions that we raise. And God will be faithful. God doesn't make a mistake. God has made no mistake over FGA, he's made no mistake over each of us, all with our weaknesses, areas of doubt and unbelief. He makes no mistake. And he wants us to believe that and get that from our heads to our hearts, because this is part of God's faithfulness. That is why. You see, God fulfills all his promises to his people, whether through the teaching of the word or your own time and fellowship with him. He has promised that he will never leave nor forsake us, and that he will be with us through every trial and tribulation. You know it. You've got them all marked, all the verses. You quoted them. You can recite them, you know them. That is God's heart, that is his word to you. When you read the word of God, that is God's word of faithfulness to you. That is him speaking. He's just simply chosen to reveal his speech through a book. God can speak in any way, and indeed he does. He also speaks into your heart. He speaks through your conscience. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through a preacher, a teacher. There are many, many ways. But when you open up the word, when you read these scriptures and these promises, that is God's word. That is his faithfulness to you. And he doesn't want you questioning it. And the moment you question it, the moment you doubt it, you are falling from that simple childlike faith. You are falling from the standard that God has restored you back in the second Adam of Jesus Christ. It grieves him when you doubt him. And you know when you doubt him by your actions, by what you do. And even the mercy of God is revealing to us now in these closing days, not to trust in the arm of the flesh anymore. We're seeing how corrupt it's becoming, how it's falling away. The utter confusion out in the world now. Aren't these clear signs to us? What does it take for God to influence us? The problem is, we are still at times selfish beings. We're still self-centered, and that is the problem. And that is the wrong sort of faith. That is a perverted faith. That is a faith that questions the faithfulness of God. You see, our weaknesses, they create those errors within our lives. They hinder that love, that understanding of God's faithfulness in and through us. You know, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to keep us believing and trusting in him. The Holy Spirit has come empowering us to have this simple childlike faith. And as I bring this to an end now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, which you know so well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the apostle clearly says here that God is faithful, and by whom you were called, there you are, you were called from the foundation of the world, and thank God he has called us, because we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't even be in this room, we wouldn't even be listening to this. He's called us in his mercy and love. For what? Into fellowship with him. That is profound. That is amazing. God has restored us through Jesus Christ to come back, to know him, that we can cry out, Abba, Father. He's restored that fellowship, that relationship, that simple childlike faith of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The mediator, because he's the one that creates and works this for us. That is why I always say, Sonship is about fellowship. That is what he's working this within us. So that when we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship with each other. And this fellowship answers everything. It answers every doubt, every area of unbelief, any questioning that is in our hearts. It answers that very question when we have fellowship, koinonia, with him and each other. That is why faith is influenced by God's faithfulness. And when your faith is influenced by God's faithfulness, and that faithfulness is fellowship with him, which we have just read there, you will stay with this. You will be persistent. You will be faithful. You will be reliable. You will be what God wants you to be. Whatever the situation, whatever happens, whatever goes on, whatever reports. And we're going to see much. If we think 2020 was a rocky ride, I'm sorry, but it's going to be even worse for 2021. It is going to get worse. And the question is, are we going to let it affect us, influence us, or are we going to be like that persistent widow? I will not be denied. I will keep knocking. I will keep pressing in because I know the judge will get up. He will get up. He will answer. He will give me what I want. Well, how much more then, brothers and sisters, with God's faithfulness, who's calling us into fellowship with him. Now is the time for our faith to wax stronger, because God has restored us back and given to us that simple childlike faith. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you called us first. We know it's not in us. Father, we know in our flesh we're haters of God. But Lord, you've called us to walk in the Spirit and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And it is a spiritual work of restoration that you are doing in the body of Christ and in each of us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that our faith is a heavenly faith, is a spiritual faith. It is faith that trusts and believes in the Word of God. Father, deliver us from having a faith, a worldly faith, a perverted faith, a faith of the devil, who's a liar and a deceiver and a murderer. Lord, you are delivering us from trusting or looking or being influenced of any of that. But we know, Father, as we have heard today, that our faith that pleases you has to be influenced by God's faithfulness. And you are, because you've started that work and you will complete and finish that work, as you have said in your word. And so, Lord, I thank you today for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, that they will walk in the blessings of this word. That, Father, this manna that you give to us so regularly, we will partake of and eat of. And we will reveal that fruit that the world is to see out there. Because you said, by the fruit they will be known. And may we always walk in the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us that we may be a light, a witness, Give us that boldness to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And I pray above all you'll preserve and keep each of my brother and sister from the evil one and from temptation. For that I ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.